what doctrine is. So let's get a few things on the board. Heaven's government. Heaven's government. That's what a doctrine or the doctrine of Christ is. It's Jesus Christ manifested for us to teach us the government of heaven. Now, when you think about the government of heaven, if you're thinking spiritually, you would want to attain unto a heavenly government. In other words, you think that in heaven, it's just all anybody just do what you want type of thing? Where do you think they got the idea of government in the earth from? Because in heaven, there is one Lord, one dominion, one power, one word, all of it. You could go through the list. Faith, baptisms, teachings, it's all ordered by the mind of God. That's awesome to me. So if it's ordered by the mind of God, when he sent Jesus Christ to manifest a doctrine or a teaching, what did he talk about? Heaven. Now, we may not think so because what is the perception man perceives the doctrine from? If one of the first things in Hebrews chapter 6, the doctrine is repentance from dead works, what is the perception of man coming from? Earth. So what are they needing in a doctrine? They're needing the doctrine to teach them how to repent or how to be baptized or how to have their hands laid on them or how to become come into a resurrection. What if in heaven all of that already exists, Brett? So therefore, repentance is not looked at in heaven like it would be in the earth. Baptism is not looked at like it is in the earth. It already is. So heaven is a place that exists that's already full of life, already full of order, already full of truth. You are in the body of Christ. There's no separation. You have no sin because there's no need to repent, and so forth. You are healed. You are restored. Your eyes are open. Your ears can hear. So in heaven, if you want all of that to come to a people who is separated from God, what do you need to teach them? You need to teach them the doctrine. The doctrine or the teaching of heaven is what is given to us to show us the way to become like heaven. But do you know what I notice about man? What do you notice about man? We don't like the doctrine of Christ. You know what the Pharisees did in the Bible? How many know what the Pharisees did in the Bible? Or anybody that had the Word of God, what did they do in the Bible, Tim?
They loved to take the Word of God to rule over the people with it.
Okay, so he said they loved to take the Word of God, rule over the people. So in doing so, what did they make? They made their own doctrines according to the commandments of men. What has our world done? The same. Have we not taken the Word of God and made our own commandments and put whatever we want on it? Don't touch this, don't touch that, dress this way, can't say this, can't say that. And everybody has put a code on it that fits man's belief. And what does it actually teach you about? All it teaches you is trying to perfect the flesh. That's what it's trying to do. Has anybody ever noticed that? When you put doctrines of man upon men, all it does is try to perfect the flesh. So when Jesus came and teaching the doctrines of heaven, what did he care about? Did he care about your existence in heaven? Did he care about your soul? So when heaven began to teach the doctrines of Christ, then he began to order out, this is how it's done in heaven. This is what it's like in heaven. So if you repent from your ways and turn unto the Lord, what are you going to be like? Like heaven, like Jesus. Look up Isaiah 9:6. Tony, and put that up on the board. For unto us a child is born. Who is that child? Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Who carries the government of heaven upon him? Christ. He was the one that was sent to teach it. So a while back, I taught you guys this, and I was very specific for several weeks. This is very important. How many ways are there to heaven? If God established one way to get to heaven, then what way should we follow? One way. That would be God's way, wouldn't it? That's what you said, J.M., God's way. He established it. It would be his way. So who did he put in charge to carry the government on his shoulders? Jesus Christ. Is he the way to the Father? Yes. Now, this would seem to be basic stuff, but you know what I've learned? In the thoughts of man, what do we like to do? I've said it three times. We like to make our own way. We like to make our own commandment. So what would the doctrines of Christ be in our world to help teach us? It would be there to teach us how to follow that one way of heaven. So here's the ultimate question. How many of you here could teach all of us the doctrine of Christ? If I was going to challenge you here today and said, how many of you could name them? I won't do that. I want you to think about it. How many of you could name them? And then, how many of you could talk about them with understanding? And if your answer is no, my question is, what are we waiting on? This is the guide to heaven. Tim, the guide to heaven. If I want to understand everything about heaven, obviously I need the Lord to show up and talk to me, don't I? But these doctrines are given to us for this very purpose, so that we know how to walk in forgiveness, so that we know how to walk in trust, we know how to walk in a believing of God, we know how to walk in a cleansing and a washing of the Word of God and of the Spirit. We know how to walk in a newness of life, in resurrection. That's awesome. And so therefore, what if we have everything we need to teach us how to walk in all of these things? This is what we need. We need to know these things. So here's my provoking to you. Learn them. Whatever you do, learn the doctrines of Christ, because what you're going to find out is in doctrine or the teachings of Christ, you are going to find out everything you need to know about the Lord. Because in his teaching, he reveals it. That's awesome. He is teaching us these things to help us. Now, I want to read a scripture I read a few weeks ago in Romans, I think it's 16, Romans 16, 17. Remember when I talked about marking? Mark them which cause divisions. How many remember what to mark is? Julie asked me, and I answered it.
Well, to mark is, I've been doing that actually. It's calling out those thoughts and marking them and labeling them as what they are.
Okay.
Fear.
So naming them. Discerning them. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now let me read that again. I beseech you, brethren, right now, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Do you remember what I described as marking? Are you marking people physically? Sometimes you might have to. Did you know that? You might have to sometimes. If Michael was a man that always yielded to offenses and divisions in the Word of God, you think I would mark him? Sure would. Now, I may not run around telling everybody, but I would mark him. You know why? Because every time he came around, I would know already that this thought is trying to cause divisions and strife. So would he be marked in me? Yes. How could I mark his thoughts if I cannot mark my own? If there are divisions and offenses that come into you, what are they trying to divide you from and get you offended at? Contrary to the doctrine, that's what they're after. They are after your government. The thing that rules heaven in you, the thing that rules your world would be government, the government of heaven. So if divisions come contrary to that government or that established truth in you, then what would you want to do? You'd want to mark them, wouldn't you?
That's how I become the god of this world.
Say that. Hold on, Gary.
That's how those in you that cause those divisions to the doctrine of Christ eventually as one become the god of that world in you.
Explain that, if you don't mind.
The government of God is to have dominion, right? Those spirits in you want to have the dominion over you.
There you go.
And not Christ.
Yes.
So it's all about dominion and power and authority, and the authority of God is true. Anything but the authority of God is untrue. It's Antichrist.
Awesome. So everybody heard that, right? What are the spirits of man doing? Aren't they trying to reign in power in you? Therefore, why do you think men set up established governments?
Power
and authority. Now, I don't want to get into our government. I'm not talking about that today. I'm not going to do it. Some of you want me to, aren't you? I do not want to talk about that. You know, we try to stay clear of that in our teaching because, let's face it, I don't care who you put out here. It's going to be some of the same, of the same, of the same, of the same, of the same. What we're worried about is the soul of man, your government of God, that God is raising you up and establishing that power. And so will there be conflicts and contrary in your heart concerning the Word of God in you? Imagine if the Lord's trying to work repentance in you by His Word, and you've got thoughts in you that are contrary to you repenting. That wouldn't be good, would it? Baptism would be putting you into the body of Christ, and yet you've got thoughts contrary all the time trying to keep you out of the body of Christ. Who's got power here? You got to mark them that cause divisions. When the Word of God comes and says, you are the Son of God, Marvin, there's going to be thoughts in you that are contrary to that gospel and that doctrine. What do you want to do to that? Do you want to mark it? Say, hold on now. You know, here's where they deceive you. Look at you. Look at you. You can't even think right. You're doing this. You're doing that. You haven't done this right. You haven't done that right. That's all of your thoughts. And so what does that eliminate? It eliminates the prophecy of the Lord. What does doctrine tell you? I've already mentioned to you. It teaches you what it's like in heaven, already established, right? So if doctrine is teaching you, is it bringing you to the place that you have now, the mind of heaven? Yes. But what if you forsake doctrine? What if you forsake it?
There's a doctrine that's still going to be working, no matter what.
That's true. Tim said there's still going to be a doctrine working there, because there's still going to be some form of government. God made you to be run by a government. You know that, right? I'm not talking inwardly. You guys agree with things or disagree with things because there is some form of power in you that causes you to think a certain way. What is it? I want you to put your finger on it if you can and begin to discern what is the power that's governing your life. Why do you live your life the way you do? What is your government? Who's in charge of your government? When Jesus was in charge, did he give the disciples any time to be slack at all? Or did they have to follow him for 3.5 years straight and stay right with him, Tim? What is that symbolic of? It's not saying, Julie, you have to sell your house, get rid of your son, and, you know, come and hang around us and live where we, everywhere we go, you got to go. It doesn't say that. But symbolically, is it saying that? For example, what does the doctrines of Christ teach me? Well, they teach me how to leave myself, in a sense, of my own authority and my own power. And it helps me see my need for God and why I have been in sin. That's what it helps me see. It helps me see my separation from God. It helps me see that he is the one that I came from, and that his word is graciously and mercifully bringing me back to him.
It teaches you how to govern in your own spirit.
There you go. It is designed to do this, to teach us how to govern the word of God in us. Because who ultimately is God setting up as the ruler, kings and priests of that government?
I was going to say, if you could put...
It'd be us.
Revelation 1, 5, and 6.
Put that up there, Tony. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. I'm just going to let you speak it, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Because you were talking about having to know what you're forgiven from. That's a big part of it, bro. He said, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever.
There it is.
So when you know who you are and you're forgiven of your sins, bro, washed in his blood, because you got to be washed. That's the reason the doctrine is so important, bro, because it is the washing of the water of the word. It'll wash you clean of the way you think right now. And you'll know your sins are forgiven, and you'll come to a reckoning that you're a king and a priest ordained of God.
Right on.
And you'll learn how to rule, bro.
Right on. And that's what we're after here, is what's the point of God having a government if we never partake in it, share with him? That's his desire.
Well, you let devils rule your kingdom.
Yeah. That day is got to end where lies rule the kingdom. Do you guys remember there was a war in heaven? You know what happened, right? You guys know what happened in that war? A ruler, he was a false ruler who tried to rise up and take heaven. Is that symbolic of what has happened here with us? Has Satan tried to rise up and take the place of God in you? Do we need to have a war in heaven? Or have you come to that yet? That's it. We need his government, because his government will not allow Satan to rule in sorrow and death and pain and lies, torments. Wow, that's powerful, man.
The curse gets broken, man.
Yeah, the curse gets broken. Wow, that's powerful. You know, the book of Revelation is about that government. Interesting part is it doesn't use the word government. But it's very clear that there's a question being asked in the book of Revelation. And that question is, who for all eternity is going to rule and govern heaven, the kingdom of God? That's a question, Keith, that the book of Revelation asks. It doesn't write it in a question, say, per se, but it asks the question, who is going to rule and govern all of eternity and heaven? And you know, we get the answer. You know that? We get the answer. Who's it going to be? Who's going to rule it? What revelation is it of? Jesus. So who's going to sit on his throne with him and rule that government? Yeah. Isn't it the overcomer who's going to sit on his throne? Isn't that you? Isn't that the church of God? Isn't that the man of God in you? The daughters of God? All of it, man. Praise God. This is what doctrine does for us. And isn't that amazing? You know what happened when Jesus came? Do you know what popped up here and there when they started listening to Jesus teach? They were astounded at his doctrine. We've never heard such things. They even said, what new doctrine is this? That was amazing. And here's the thing. Sometimes you could get so focused and easily focused on Hebrews chapter 6 as being the doctrines of Christ. And that is very much true. But do you know everywhere Jesus went and taught, he was teaching his doctrine? Everything. Every time he laid out a parable, every time he brought understanding, every time he interpreted a thing, he was teaching his doctrine. Here's how we do it in heaven, man. I am heaven manifested, and I am teaching you my doctrine. And then he went on to say, by the way, it's not mine, it's the one that sent me. In other words, he disavowed even the acknowledgement of a man being able to come up with that. He acknowledged that he was spirit, and his Father in heaven was what actually ruled the kingdoms. So he took away flesh out of it, didn't he? That's what we have to do. You got to remove flesh. You know what else I like about doctrine? The scripture tells us that it's nourishment to us. That's an interesting word, man. It's nourishment to us. Faith and good doctrine is nourishment to us. Does it strengthen you? Does it give you life? Yeah. So it nourishes you. What if you forsake it? Well, you have no purpose, you have no direction, you have no life, you have no strength.
Weak,
right? You're weak.
This is why we have such weakness.
Yeah. Who said what? Somebody said something?
No salvation.
No salvation at all. Matter of fact, along with that, do you know what the scripture also says? That he that has not the doctrine of Christ, do you know what he has? He doesn't have the Father. But he that has the doctrine has the Father and the Son. That's awesome. You know why that's so powerful? Because the revelation of Jesus, that's what it's about. So let's take a subject that bores most people. Doctrine. Now, I'm not kidding you. When I grew up all my life, here's what I heard all the time. All the time. If I heard it once, I heard it many, many times. I'm not getting into that doctrine. I'm simple. I just believe Jesus. What? Like, now I look back on that and I go, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Because how can you separate it?
Yeah. It's a doctrine divides. It causes offense. And so we don't want to offend anyone. So we're gonna stay away from doctrine and just preach Jesus.
Just preach Jesus.
Well, if you understood doctrine, you'd understand Jesus.
It is Jesus. Doctrine will divide. That's what people are afraid of.
Right.
But here's the thing. Doctrine, I'm saying in this life, true doctrine unifies. But in our life, the reason why doctrine divides and people know it is because you got to draw a line in the sand. And you got to say Jesus is the way or he's not. The way Jesus said it is the right way or it's not. And that's really where we have to live. And I don't mind living there. You know why? Because I have realized and seen some things of eternal life that because you live that narrow way of Jesus' doctrine and his word, you have complete revelation and authority of heaven. All of heaven is given to us. It's like the heavens opened up and all it took was coming through that narrow path. And when you get into heaven, everything's opened up to you. Not so narrow anymore. And so, yes, I believe in preaching in Jesus, but in my mind, I cannot separate the two. Everything Jesus taught brought us to the revelation of heaven, the revelation of eternal life. And so let's say it this way. If you want to have eternal life, which is the goal, let's face it. Do you have an expectation of living for God? Anybody in here? I do. I expect everything God said, and I expect him to make good on it. And I don't say that in a, like, haughty, crazy way. But God's not a liar, surely. If God said he would do it, then should my expectation be that? You bet it should, huh, Keith? It should be that. So if God promised me eternal life and I walk the narrow path, wow, guess what's gonna be given? Eternal life. And so it's an awesome, awesome thing. And I have often thought, has anybody ever had a thought like this? That, now this had, I haven't had this thought in years, but I used to think years ago, I had a thought that what if, Brad, that I go to lay my life down and just lay it down and give up this and give up that. That's the way my mind was back then. Give up this, give up that, and then I don't make it. Anybody in here ever had a thought like that? Now, did we read something in the scripture a few minutes ago that talked about divisions and contrary? What are we really struggling with? We don't trust that the Lord is actually true to his word. And but here's the other thing. What are we actually laying down? Hear them kids? They're shouting amen. I heard it. Did you hear it? I know one of them said, amen, preach it, brother. I'm listening. What are we actually laying down? Or should I say it this way? What are we actually giving up in this life? I mean, yeah, but isn't it all just garbage anyway? Or I'm giving up strife. But I hate to give up that because I love strife, my God. Anytime I get around people, if I can argue with them, I feel so good. And I just walk away feeling, whoo, yeah. Do you see what I did to them? I hurt them bad. Yeah, I told them what they deserved. Don't you love that? Man, I hate that I had to give that up. Jealous? Oh, man. Jealous? Jealousy? I hated giving that up. Pride? Envy? Witchcraft? See my point? What are you actually having to give up? Everything that hurts you and keeps you out of heaven? Yeah. What were you going to say?
It's a life.
Explain that.
Well, you're defining the life of the man of sin.
There you go.
His nature.
That's
you don't want to give that up.
That's what you want. to be gone. That's what the doctrine of Christ is going to dissolve in you.
Burn it up.
Come on now. How many of you like fire, Brad? You like fire?
Love it.
You like fire? Is it hot? Is it burn? How many of you like the fire of the Word of God? Come on now. Are you ready to be burned up? You know what I love about fire? In the purging of it? Oh man, does it make precious, precious ornaments of gold. Wow. Imagine God burning off everything in your life, and then all that's left is everything that is Him. Just valuable. That's what's going to heaven. So do you need to be burned up? Oh, yeah. You ready to jump in the fire? Good. We're going to have a few of us in there. And then when we look around, we're going to say, hey, I see one like the Son of God. There you go. Then everybody outside watching saying, I don't want in that fire is going, wait, what? Thought we only put a few of them in there. Somebody else is in there. That's good stuff. I'm referring to Daniel chapter 3, in case anyone doesn't know, go read Daniel chapter 3. And then you'll know. Good stuff, though. Hey, do we need doctrine? Hopefully I've made my point clear that we need the teaching of heaven to come to us and to teach us all about it. Are you going to forsake that? Don't forsake that. Mark those that cause divisions, that are contrary. Mark them. And let me throw one more thing in here. Is it possible? I realize that there are people among us, in our world, I mean, that don't believe the same way I do. Some people don't sweat about it. You can get along just fine. Then you got the people that they can't just let it go. They have to tell you what they believe and punish you for what you believe. Okay? Is it possible to mark that thought and understand it and you yourself not cause any strife in your life? Live that way. Live that way. I'm telling you, live your life here in this world in the mind of peace and hope. And do not go about warring and striving about what you believe in, about what somebody else believes in the Word of God. Do not strive one with another. You walk in the doctrines of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I say this all the time, edify, edify, edify. And will you be blessed? Oh, you betcha you will be. And it'll be good, man. We're going to heaven, man. We are getting to heaven. We're going to learn about heaven, and we're going to trust the Lord here. Aren't we? Any questions for me?
So, Dan, you said that we shouldn't just focus on Hebrews 6, the doctrines. You said that all of the Bible is the doctrine. So then what would we look at? If we wanted to start.
Here's what I tell people. Her question was, I did make the statement about you don't have to just focus on Hebrews 6. All of the Word of God will teach you the doctrines. The reason why I answered this way is there's many ways that doctrine can come forth. My suggestion to you is to know the doctrines of Hebrews 6. You know why? Because everywhere Jesus walked and talked, in some fashion, everything stems from those doctrines in Hebrews 6. Every one of them. You may not see the word belief, but the teaching of believing is in those doctrines. You may not see the word trust, but if you're going to repent, do you have to trust the Lord? Trust will be in those doctrines. So everything Jesus taught will be fashioned from that foundation. Okay?
Go back to his gospels, bro. He preached every bit of it.
Everything, yes.
Everything, he began in Jerusalem preaching repentance. So he preached those doctrines in Hebrews 6 throughout his three
years
of ministry.
Every one of That's them. All he did.
That's all he did.
Yep. Was the doctrines in Hebrews 6. So whether they be repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment, and then you come into perfection. All of those Jesus did. So that's why I say that don't be in a law to get so focused on that. There's going to be things that Jesus said that are incorporated in everything Jesus said. He's teaching us about heaven. But that's a good place to start. You know why it's a good place to start? There you go. The principal doctrines of Christ. What it does is it helps us as people to be able to order out some things. When you're in heaven, do you need to be taught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Or do you understand them all? In the earth, you need to be taught 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that's why it's good to look at those. But I will say this, Julie. When you come to understanding of them, you're going to realize that they all work together. You're not learning one at a time. You're learning them all at the same time. Don't ever forget that. Well, I'm working on repentance right now. I'm going to leave baptism for later. Nope. You're working on baptism right now. Good question, Julie. Anybody else have a question? Comment? All right. Then we know what to do. We have been instructed. Will you agree with me to put your heart toward the doctrine of Jesus Christ and know them and learn them, make them a part of your government? Do it with the agreement of us doing it together for the Lord. Does that sound good? How many will do that? Praise God. I love it. Okay. If there's no questions, then let's go have a good time today. Enjoy your family. Love one another.